You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I've only selected 10 events to talk about, but there are definitely more significant news stories that happened throughout the year than just 10. Nevertheless, here's a small portion of all the things that happened in the news this year. To begin the roundup, the year started off with a bang when the first week of January, Trump supporters stormed the US Capitol in Washington after conspiracy theories about Trump unfairly losing the election went viral. Dr. Neil Curtis, an associate professor in media and communication at Auckland University, spoke with 95BFM about the event.
Trump became this person that would do anything, really, prepared to do anything to further the cause of the wealthy and the right, and particularly those who were against abortion and stuff. I think they went all in with him. The GOP effectively became a Trump cult at that point. You can see that now, even after the sort of attempted coup or the insurrection or sedition, whatever you want to call it, they're still, you know, trying to defend him and saying, no, don't impeach.
Then, on February 19th, NASA's rover Perseverance landed on Mars with a mission to search for ancient microbial life. 95BFM spoke to Executive Director of the New Zealand Astrobiology Network, Haritina Mogusanu, about the humanitarian significance of the rover mission.
We're lucky technology goes forward, and I think for us here on Earth, this is the best we can have in terms of what do we get from it. You know, this technology that is being developed for space actually turns back and makes wonders here on Earth.
It should also be mentioned that later on in the year, China landed its first rover on Mars, making them the third country to land on the planet and continuing the modern-day space race. Back in the United States, in April, police officer Derek Chauvin was found guilty of all charges over the murder of George Floyd. 95BFM Breakfast Rachel spoke with the political professor Jennifer Curtin about the significance of the ruling.
This is, you know, part of a bigger conversation, I guess, in the sense that people are saying, you know, is this justice? Is this accountability? Or is this just one part of a bigger picture about the issue that we're seeing with racialized policing and police violence in the States at the moment? What are your takeaways from the announcements this week?
Well, I mean, the verdict is a good thing, right? It needed to happen. And we can see that from his immediate family, that they feel very strongly that this is an important outcome, not just, you know, honouring Floyd and commemorating his life, but also in terms of sort of stimulating broader reforms.
And in a bit of New Zealand news, the 2021 budget was announced in May with some mixed reactions. While increases to benefits, with beneficiaries getting up to $55 more each week, were welcomed, the disability allowance and child disability allowance saw no increases, making the disabled community feel a bit left behind. The budget also included an allocation of $380 million to be spent on housing for Maori and over $3 billion to be spent on various health sectors, including a major reform of the health system. Money was also put forward into improving New Zealand's education system and climate change in action. However, many climate activists believe there's still more to be done. And at number 5, after 12 years in office, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was voted out of office on June 13th after a new coalition government won a vote of confidence in Parliament. Here's a BBC reporter, Tom Bateman, discussing the event.
They've waited for 12 years in this divided country for the people who wanted to oust their most enduring leader. Now it's their moment. It took a chaotic vote in Israel's parliament to get there. With the count about to start, Mr. Netanyahu makes one last stand. Iran is celebrating because they understand there'll be a weak and slack government, he says. The opposition in Israel will have a clear and strong voice.
We'll be back soon.
The new coalition scrapes in by just a single vote. It was all over for Israel's combative, often controversial leader, one who leaves an indelible legacy.
Back home, we had the unfortunate event of the Delta variant reaching New Zealand in August. This led to an immediate nationwide level 4 lockdown and an increase of pressure on the vaccine campaign. Eventually, Auckland reached over 100 days straight of lockdown and the new and current traffic light system was introduced. ACT Party's Brooke van der Velden spoke to 95BFM reporter Zazie about the Delta lockdown back when it all started.
Look, I think it's disappointing that we're needing to go into another lockdown, and that will be coming as a shock to a lot of people who were hearing the news yesterday and scrambling to find new arrangements for their family situation. But there are also a lot of businesses who I know will also be struggling, you know. But ultimately, I think locking down was the right thing to do because it appears that's the only tool that we have in the toolkit at the moment to make sure that we don't have community spread throughout the country.
In September, the UK, US and Australia announced the deployment of nuclear submarines in the Pacific to combat the rising threat of China. However, with Australia's agreement with the US to purchase submarines from them, France found as though they had lucked out. Here's France 24 reporter Francis Jackson explaining the event.
A big security announcement for three old allies, as Australia, the UK and the US announced the trilateral AUKUS deal to deepen ties between the three nations.
The first major initiative of AUKUS will be to deliver a nuclear-powered submarine fleet for Australia.
But the US and the UK's gain is France's loss. The French naval group originally had a €30 billion contract to replace Australia's two-decade-old fleet of submarines. France's foreign ministry said Australia's decision to cancel the contract showed a lack of coherence at a time the two allies are facing common challenges in the Indo-Pacific region. China, meanwhile, sees the pact as an attempt to harm its interests in the region and said the three nations should shake off their Cold War mentality.
Again, in September, a ban on abortions when a fetal heartbeat is detected were enacted this year in some of the states in America. Texas was the first state to put the ban in place, with Idaho, Oklahoma and South Carolina following suit. Terry Bellamark of Abortion Law Reform New Zealand discussed the initial Texas ban with 95BFM.
In setting up this law in that way, what they've done is made abortions impossible to access or very unlikely to be accessed from about the sixth week. That's before most people even realize that they're pregnant. Unless your periods are really, really very extremely regular, you might not have noticed that you missed one because it's only 2 weeks late. So this is going to make it impossible for about 85% of abortions that currently occur in Texas from occurring.
At number 9, National Party member Judith Collins was ousted as party leader following her decision to demote Simon Bridges of all his portfolios last month. In her place, Christopher Luxon was voted in by the party as the new national leader as Simon Bridges withdrawed. Auckland University professor Dr. Lara Greaves was live with 95BFM reporter Justin during the announcement of Judith being ousted.
Yeah, it's a very, I guess, bad position for everyone in society generally because they're meant to be the opposition. And at the moment, they're doing infighting and figuring out who their leader's going to be.
Okay, just in breaking news, it has been reported that Judith Collins has been ousted as leader of the National Party.
Yeah, and so I'm not surprised that Judith Collins has been rolled as leader, given that this caucus meeting has gone on that long. I suspect that they are going to a leadership and deputy leadership vote, and that is why we've been waiting for hours with the RNZ thing open and watching all the reporters come and go.
And finally, after 16 years in power, Angela Merkel has officially stepped down as Chancellor of Germany. As the first woman to be elected as Chancellor, her decision to not run for re-election is just as significant as her legacy in power. With Olaf Scholz replacing her, CBS reporter Anna Noroskovich explains the new Germany government.
So here we are with a new government in Germany. And as you said, we have a three-way coalition, which is the first time that happens in German history. The Social Democrats, so Olaf Scholz's party, formed a coalition with the Green Party and the business-friendly FDP with the Liberals, which was quite a, you know, difficult road to get there because all the three parties, of course, have different agendas. And for people who did not vote for his party, they still see, okay, maybe the difference won't be that big because he has a lot that Mrs. Merkel also
And that was my roundup of some of the top 2021 news.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.